Hi, everyone, and welcome to English for You. I'm Erin.
And I am Pat. Now, we're going to kind of go back a few months and think about our Chinese New Year trips. Because they were kind of like what we're going to be talking about today. So, what did you do?
I went on a road trip.
Cool.
With four friends, we got on our scooters and our motorcycles, and we drove into the mountains in Taiwan.
Wow.
And we saw Huanshan.
Nice.
And we saw lots of other mountains too, but that was the one, the name I remember.
Okay. I went on to the East Coast with two friends, and one of them had a car. So we drove to Hualien, through Yilan, down to Dulan, further than that, because he wanted to drive up and down, finding nice places to surf, while the rest of us just kind of relaxed on the beach. We also drove inland and hiked up Dulan Mountain. We went to a few other places. We got lost trying to find Reishui. It was a bit of an adventure.
Right.
And that's kind of what we're talking about today, this idea of road trips, going off with a vehicle into the country with some friends and just sort of seeing what happens. And in fact, this is the very first road trip. Let's read through the article and find out about it.
Reading. The World's First Road Trip. The road trip. It's a tradition that many families practice. Everyone loads into the car, sometimes with blankets and snacks, and heads out on a vacation. A little over a century ago, though, nobody went on road trips. After all, the automobile was a new invention, and many people regarded it as a fad. One man who disagreed was Horatio Nelson Jackson. Jackson was a doctor and an early enthusiast of the automobile. He was born in 1872 in Toronto, Canada, to American parents, and studied medicine in university. Jackson was also into cars. At the time, people considered cars to be a plaything for the rich. While at San Francisco's University Club, he accepted a bet of $50 when a friend said Jackson couldn't drive a car across the U.S. Cars at the time often had engine breakdowns and were difficult to repair. Jackson couldn't fix his car if it broke down, so he got some help. He convinced a young mechanic and driver, Sewall K. Crocker, to join him on the cross-country trip.
So the article begins with a nice big statement. It says, the road trip. It's a tradition that many families practice. So what is it, really?
Well, a road trip is kind of just when you get in the car and you go.
Nice.
Right. Now, that's what it says here in this sentence. It says, everyone loads into the car, sometimes with blankets and snacks, and heads out on a vacation. Now, when you load something into another thing, you put something in or on that thing. Now, this is often used to say that you load goods onto a ship or onto a truck. Now, in this case, we're loading people, however. And the people are just getting into the car. Everyone's getting into the car and you're going. Here's an example. We loaded all of our furniture into a large moving truck and drove to our new house.
Yeah, now it says load into the car. So I kind of, in maybe in UK British English, we might say pile into a car.
Right.
So it's this idea that, you know, you're just grabbing all the stuff and you're not really making it that organized. You're just very excited, grab everything you need, stuff it in there and go.
Unless you're with me.
You're a lot more organized.
And then it's carefully packed and we know where everything is.
Exactly. Okay, well, one of the things you might want to take is a blanket. A blanket is a large piece of woolen or other soft material, and it's used to cover a bed, a chair, a person, or something like that. The main point is to keep that person warm. Mm. Could also be comfortable to sit on or lie on, but the main idea is you cover yourself with it to keep warm. Here's an example. Janine has a thick blanket that she only needs to use in winter.
Of course, you don't need that thick blanket here in the summer.
Not at all.
No. Okay, so you've got your blankets, you've got your snacks, you're all in the car. What are you going to do? You're going to head out. Now, this is a phrasal verb, and when you head out or head off, you begin a journey or a trip somewhere. Here's an example. Before you head out, check that you have your passport.
Yeah, you need that for traveling abroad.
Very smart.
So a lot of people do this kind of thing today. But as the article says, a little over a century ago, though, nobody went on road trips.
Because there were no cars, really.
That's pretty much the big reason, yeah.
Okay, well, it kind of says that here. It says, after all, the automobile was a new invention, and many people regarded it as a fad. Now, there's a lot to look at here in this sentence, but we're going to start with automobile. It's quite long. We sometimes say auto, but we usually just say car. Automobile is another word for car, and we don't use it as often nowadays because it's really just easier to say car. Here's another example. My grandfather likes going to automobile shows, especially to see the rare cars.
Now, back then, automobiles were a new invention, and an invention is a thing that is either imagined, designed, or created by someone. This thing didn't exist before, it didn't exist in nature. Someone had to think about it and put it together. Here's a famous example. John Logie Baird was the Scottish engineer whose most famous invention was the first publicly demonstrated television.
A long time ago. We also saw in that sentence that many people back then regarded the automobile as a fad. When you regard something as something else, this phrase means you think about A, that's the first something, in a particular way. That particular way is the second something. So, let me give you an example. This restaurant is regarded as the best in the city. So we're describing the restaurant as the best in the city.
So back then, people saw these new automobiles, this invention, and they regarded them as a fad. And a fad is something that quickly becomes popular, but just as quickly stops becoming popular. So most people thought, oh, these new inventions, they'll never last. You know, eh, whatever, it's just another new thing.
Right.
It won't be around for a long time.
Oh boy, were they wrong.
Well, not all of them.
Okay, well, let's find out about the person who wasn't wrong. He said one man who disagreed was Horatio Nelson Jackson.
What a name.
It is a good name.
Presumably named after famous naval Admiral Horatio Nelson, who hadn't been dead that long at this point. So, what about this guy Jackson? We see Jackson was a doctor and an early enthusiast of the automobile. If you're an enthusiast, then you're someone who is enthusiastic about something. And we always specify this something. And this person likes learning about, talking about, and doing things involved with that thing. For example, a camping enthusiast loves to go camping, read about camping sites, buy new equipment for camping, and so on. And he was an automobile enthusiast, so he just loved these new cars.
Okay, well, let's find out a little bit more about him. It says he was born in 1872 in Toronto, Canada, to American parents and studied medicine in university. Now, we use this phrase, be born to. Now, we know that when you're born, you begin to exist. That's when you're a baby, so you're very, very small and you start living. But the phrase, born to somebody, is used to show who is having the baby. Now, in this case, American parents living in Canada had a baby, and they named him Horatio Nelson. Here's another example. Fred was born to rich parents, so he's never struggled for money.
Okay, so he, then Jackson, he then went to school, got an education, studied medicine at University. University is a school for higher education. So it's the one after high school. Mm-hmm. But universities, we also think of them as being centers for learning, for research, and for education in general. Now, we can use this word more specifically and say which one we're talking about, Cambridge University, NTU, various others all around the world. But more generally, just studied something at university. We just mean any and all schools like this that you would go to after high school. Mm-hmm. Here's an example of using it in that way. My friends and I are in our last year of senior high school, and we'll all be going to university in the fall. Now, this doesn't mean they're all going to the same university.
Right.
It just means they're all going on to some kind of higher education in different universities, studying different things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we know he's a doctor. He went to schools, born in Canada. Now he's not living in Canada now. He's in the U.S., and it says here, Jackson was also into cars. That's just another way to say he's an automobile enthusiast.
Yeah, but at the time, as we've kind of already discussed, people considered cars to be a plaything for the rich.
Mm.
So here we just use this phrase, consider something to be something. And this is very similar to the phrase Erin taught earlier, regard something as something. So it means to think of something in a certain way. Now, it's more common to use regard something as and consider something to be. You could use the prepositions in a different way, but these ways are the most common.
Okay, so let's find out what he's going to do. He's into cars. It says here, while at San Francisco's University Club, he accepted a bet of $50 US when a friend said Jackson couldn't drive a car across the US.
I love this so much. Mm-hmm. This is like the story 80 Days Around the World. You know, gentlemen sitting around in leather armchairs in a club, and somebody says, like, I bet you can't do this. All right, we'll bet on it. And $50 US was probably like $1 million today.
Well, probably not that
maybe
much.
Maybe not that much.
Quite a bit.
Not, you know, it would be more than just, okay, $50, that's maybe not such a big amount, but back then it would have been more. And so he says, I'll take that bet. You know, we're going to have a race. Because people did that in those days for fun.
Yeah.
Okay, now, it wasn't as easy as all that. You might think, drive a car across the US, what's so hard about that? Well, the article says, cars of the time, so cars back then, often had engine breakdowns and were difficult to repair.
Ooh.
So it's not like today you could just drive it across, you stop at all these points, get gas, carry on, get eats. The cars back then, they were always having problems, especially with their engines. And the engine is any kind of machine with moving parts that turns power into movement.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about cars, it's that thing under the hood which burns up the gas to get energy to make the wheels turn and make the rest of the car work and so on. Here's an example sentence. This car needs a new engine. Otherwise, it will never run again.
Oh, that's sad. Poor car. All right, well, here's what's going to happen. He thinks that he might not be able to just fix the car if it breaks down on his own.
Yeah.
So he gets some help. It says here, Jackson couldn't fix his car if it broke down, so he got some help. Okay, in that sentence, we use the phrase break down. So Horatio Nelson, this guy Jackson, he wasn't sure if he'd be able to fix the car. He likes cars. He knows a lot about cars. He has a car, but he doesn't know how to fix them. So if a car or another type of machine breaks down, it stops working for some reason and it needs to be fixed. So if you're in a car and you're driving on a highway and your car just sort of dies, you're kind of in a bad spot. You need someone to come get your car, to take it. But he didn't have that luxury back then. Here's another example. The water machine has broken down again, so you'll need to bring a water bottle today.
Okay, now Erin just talked about the phrasal verb break down, but back in one of those sentences, we talked about engine breakdowns.
Right.
And there we use the word breakdown as a noun.
Mm-hmm.
When we do that, it's all one word. So a phrasal verb, something breaks down, is two words. But if you have a breakdown, it's one word.
That's right.
Okay, so that's the difference there. So you can say, my engine has broken down, or I've had an engine breakdown.
Right.
And of course, this is going to be a problem. These days, there are companies you call when that happens. Mm-hmm. They drive out, maybe tow your car back or something like this.
Right.
Back in 1872, or 1900, probably when this takes place, these companies didn't exist. You have to bring a guy who can fix your car along with you.
Right.
And you're also going to have to think, well, where are we going to get food and stuff? Because the US is not quite as built up and developed at this point. Mm-hmm. So everything's going to be so much more difficult. But he's got a plan to sort out the engine breakdown problem. We see in the article that he, Jackson, convinced a young mechanic and driver, Sewell K. Crocker, to join him on the cross-country trip. Okay, to convince someone, you persuade them, hey, do this. Maybe he gave him money.
Right.
Maybe he said, this will be fun. Maybe he'll say, you'll be famous. Mm. Whatever. He got this guy who's a mechanic, which means he knows how to fix machines, and also a driver to help. Now, the driver part, you might think, well, what's that matter? But it's important. There's just two guys in this car. Mm-hmm. So one guy can't do all the driving. You get tired and that could be dangerous. Two people, you can change places. You can go, okay, your turn, you drive for a few hours, then I'll drive for a few hours, then you do, and then we can sleep and so on. And you can sleep while I drive. So it makes the whole process a lot easier.
Right. And as you can see, back then, there weren't a lot of people who knew about cars. So we can just automatically guess that this Crocker person, he's also a car enthusiast.
Likely
because
so.
He knows how to fix them. He knows how to drive them. And back then, there weren't so many people who knew how to do that. So I feel like he's picked the perfect person to come with him.
Yeah, we can actually bring this back to where we started the article about road trips. When you go on a road trip, you don't generally have one person doing all the driving.
Not likely.
It can happen if you're not going too far. But the point of a road trip is that you all take turns doing the driving so people can sleep, eat, relax, and not one person always behind the wheel.
Right.
That's why it's more of a road trip rather than just a drive, because of this shared experience of doing it all.
Right.
And that's going to kind of bring us on to our For You chat question. So, since we've finished day one of the article, let's go to that right now.
For You chat.
So today's question, kind of like what we've been talking about, is, do you like going on road trips? And do explain your answer. We want to know why or why not. Give reasons, maybe past experiences. Mm-hmm. What have we got?
I love going on road trips.
Okay.
I especially like going on road trips in Taiwan because I can drive a scooter really well. And I don't usually drive a car. Even in Canada, I'm not a big driver. I usually take public transportation. So here in Taiwan, I just get on my scooter and I go right up into the mountains. And the air is fresh and clean and there's waterfalls to visit, hikes to go on, delicious food to eat up there. There's mountain boar and delicious sausage and all these wonderful things to do and see. And so that's why I love going. And you know, if you go with a couple of friends, you get some great photos, you get some good moments to remember with your friends, and in Taiwan.
Yeah. I do like the idea of road trips, but I'm not much of a driver. I haven't done any driving in about 15 years now. So if I go on a road trip, I have to make sure I'm going with people who are okay with the fact that I'm not going to get behind the wheel.
Right.
I can do other things. I can navigate. I can look after music. I can plan things out and do other ideas, but I won't actually be doing any of the driving. And I think I bring it back to an experience why I don't enjoy this was when I was 18, four of us drove to the English coast. It's about an hour and a half drive, two people in two cars each, and we communicated with one of those radio devices truck drivers do to tell each other, you know, directions, turn this way, turn that way, traffic up ahead, we're going to stop in this town for tea or something like that. So it was quite fun, but it was a little bit difficult and I almost had an accident trying to overtake something. My friend in front said, no, you've got plenty of room to overtake. maybe I didn't have quite as much as he thought.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened and we're all safe, but the whole experience did sour me, did
right.
put me off doing too much of that stuff. So, road trips, yes, but please don't expect me to do much
driving for this guy.
Yeah, I'll entertain you in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is all the time we've got for today, but join us again tomorrow to find out what happens to Jackson and Crocker, two great names, on their world's first road trip across America. See you then. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The world's first road trip. The road trip. It's a tradition that many families practice. Everyone loads into the car, sometimes with blankets and snacks, and heads out on a vacation. A little over a century ago, though, nobody went on road trips. After all, the automobile was a new invention, and many people regarded it as a fad. One man who disagreed was Horatio Nelson Jackson. Jackson was a doctor and an early enthusiast of the automobile. He was born in 1872 in Toronto, Canada, to American parents, and studied medicine in university. Jackson was also into cars. At the time, people considered cars to be a plaything for the rich. While at San Francisco's University Club, he accepted a bet of $50 when a friend said Jackson couldn't drive a car across the U.S. Cars of the time often had engine breakdowns and were difficult to repair. Jackson couldn't fix his car if it broke down, so he got some help. He convinced a young mechanic and driver, Sewall K. Crocker, to join him on the cross-country trip.
Vocabulary review. Load. The whole family loaded into the van and began their vacation to Kending. Blanket. I keep a blanket on my couch so I can use it on cold winter days. Automobile. In many places outside of the city, you need an automobile to get around. Invention. Thomas's newest invention is a machine that can cook a number of dishes on its own. University. After high school, Lisa plans on going to university to study medicine. Engine. The car's engine is having trouble. I need to get it fixed right away.